The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
I'm joined now by Dr. Annie Curtis, who is, of course, an immunologist, a body clock expert and a senior lecturer at the RCSI University of Medicine and Health Sciences. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning, Brendan.
Annie, so what we're going to talk about today is what time of the day you exercise. There's new research on that. But listen, before we get to that, can I just ask you about a few of the things that have come up this morning? Firstly, in terms of James Vincent McMorrow's gig during the week, and then we saw matches in Dublin and Cork and various places last night. Do you think the pilots were a good idea? Do you think we learned anything?
I think certainly, you know, we have to start rolling out these pilots, and we have to understand how the virus behaves, you know, when we have larger social gatherings. One thing I do wonder about, though, is whether we need to add the testing on top of this, you know, and that's a real subject for debate, whether, you know, for these pilot situations, should we have had rapid antigen testing, you know, before and after the event?
And should we?
And my personal feeling is that we should. We need to get as much data, Brendan, as we can, you know, in trying to understand how this virus works in these social settings. And also, you know, what are the measures that we're taking? Are they positive? Are they negative? You know, do we have to add on more measures in certain situations? Or are we overcooking the goose, you know, in certain situations? And lessen back.
On overcooking the goose, Annie, I watched that gig the other night, and they showed the audience a lot. And really, it was very small pods of people, very spread out in a huge area, outdoors. And you kind of think, it's a miracle. Nobody got COVID off anyone else when we spread them all out and in a space like that. But you kind of wonder, you can't do every gig like that. So, like, was that a wasted opportunity in a way?
Well, you know, I think it's all about, when I hear pilot, you know, from my background, I just think experiment. And in an experiment, what you have to do is you have to define whether the experiment was a success or not. And, you know, you learn from those experiments. So for me, I think the testing is a really important part of this experimentation, because it'll give us the data in a much more sensitive way. I know people were saying, well, you know, we knew everyone who was at that gig, we'll know in a couple of weeks, but we won't know to the same level of sensitivity, because obviously the only people who are going to go for testing are people who have symptoms, whereas we won't have had the understanding of how many individuals who went in there who were asymptomatic, how many individuals came out who were still asymptomatic but who could have still have spread. So data is the key here. And Brendan, one thing I was saying it to your researcher, one thing I worry a little bit now is, do you remember last summer? And the incidence rate went down, you know, really low.
Yeah.
But then winter, you know, autumn, winter came along and we had this big next wave. And lots of people were saying we really missed an opportunity in the summer to, you know, tidy up our house, essentially. And, you know, get our... At that point, it was all about testing, you know, testing, tracing, isolation, and obviously even quarantine measures, that we could have put those in place last summer to allow us to really be more prepared for what happened in the winter months. And I wonder now, is the rapid antigen testing what that was last year? Should we be doing a lot of test pilot cases of rapid antigen testing in a myriad of different situations where we're bringing people together so that we are more equipped when the winter comes?
So do you think then, Annie, and I know seasonal is a complicated word because it is to do with people's behaviour and whether they're inside or outside or whatever, but could we be seeing here a seasonal element again where this kind of goes into abeyance a bit anyway during the summer and it could kind of kick off a bit more again in the autumn?
Well, you know, as you said, there's multiple things to this seasonality. You know, whether the virus itself is seasonal, we don't know that yet because we don't have enough, you know, we haven't tracked it for enough seasons. But as you said, our behaviours change during the summer. Another thing as well, Brendan, is our immune system changes during the summer.
Okay.
We're much more able to combat viruses during the summer than we are in the winter months. So again, you know, do we use this summer period and, you know, we know, you know, the cases, they're going down. Well, they've been really stable, I suppose, for the last couple of months, which is fantastic. But do we use this time now to really get our house in order such that we can do widespread rapid antigen testing in situations that we'll need to do it? Because, like, Brendan, we can't stay socially distanced forever. You know, we need to have a situation where we've learned the things that we can do to enable, you know, a more widespread and safe reopening.
Gotcha. Okay, so I sense you're saying we need to push it a little bit, but with testing. Just quickly, and we'll get on to exercise then. How worried are we about the Delta variant?
So, Brendan, we need to be worried about every variant because every variant is essentially a new kid in the block. And when a new kid comes on the block in terms of this virus, we have to answer a whole new series of questions about that variant. So what we need to understand now, and we're beginning to get the data from the UK, is this variant more spreadable from person to person? It looks like it is. Now, it looks like it's overtaking the Alpha variant, you know, the UK variant. In terms of vaccination, we need to understand, you know, is this variant more resistant to vaccination? Can it escape vaccination? It looks from the UK that even though there is a rise in hospitalizations, especially I was just looking at a case report about Bolton, that most of those individuals were individuals who had not been vaccinated. But again, you know, every new variant throws up a number of questions. And as well as that, Brendan, we have to appreciate that we see variants when we give the virus an open playing field. Do you see?
Yeah.
When we allow the virus to have, you know, to be really rampant in communities, that allows variants to occur because the virus only generates mutations, you know, as it infects people and multiplies. So all variants are a worry.
Okay. All right. Now, exercise. So new research, and like, I'm not delighted to hear this. A lot of people are not going to be delighted to hear it. That it's better to exercise in the evening, but obviously exercise is the last thing you want to do in the evening.
Well, do you know what the data is saying, Brendan, is? Now, first of all, we should say the caveat. Exercise is better than no exercise, okay? So no one should say, not a great time now. I was going to sit back on the couch. Exercise at any time of the day is better than no exercise. But this has really been the topic of a lot of research, is to see if there's actually an optimal time of day to exercise in which you could get potentially the best benefit. And what the data is showing, there's been a number of studies about this, is that sort of more late afternoon, early evening. So I'm kind of, when I look at these studies, I'm kind of looking at around, you know, maybe at a 3 to 4 o'clock to about a 7 to 8 o'clock window. That seems to be a nice sweet spot for exercise.
And why is that, Annie, in English?
Well, that is because of our body clock, Brendan, right? Always goes down to the body clock, doesn't it? We, and the body clock for listeners is the fact that we are actually walking time machines. Like, we think we can tell the time of day by looking at the clock. Our bodies are actually continually telling the time of day. And I think it's a good analogy to say that we're like walking clocks because we have like arms and a face and stuff like that. So that's how we should consider ourselves.
I like it.
And what we know is that things like joint flexibility, that varies across the day. And we're more flexible in that late afternoon time point. Our body temperature peaks at that time point, late afternoon, and that allows our muscles to work better and it allows us to have less risk of injury. And I think those things, Brendan, are important because it may allow people to continue their exercise regime. You know, a lot of people might head off and hit the gym with gusto, let's say, and then build up an injury or something like that. And then, you know, it puts the kibosh on it. And you're less sore as well if you exercise in that time of day. Your grip strength increases. So for those playing golf, you know, you might have a better round of golf. Interestingly, Brendan, more Olympic world records are broken at that time of the day than any other time.
Really? Okay.
Because of this. And your airways are open. You know, it's your lung function is at the best at that time of day. It's easier to exercise, takes less effort. And as well as that, there's all these hormones, one of them human growth hormone, that again peaks at that time of day. And that's really important for strength and athletic ability.
Okay, so, Annie, you're making a very compelling case here, but obviously it is not what I or a lot of people want to be hearing. So question though, in terms of the body clock, am I right in thinking that willpower is kind of a finite resource? And like, you know, there are a lot of people who will say, look, if I don't just get up in the morning without thinking about it and get out and do it, that as the day goes on, I just lose the will.
Absolutely. And but some people are programmed differently as well. You know, some people are that early morning, you know, I have to get it done first thing in the morning. And as what we said is, exercise is better than no exercise, Brendan. So that's absolutely fine. But, you know, if you have the choice and if it suits you, of course, to exercise in the afternoon. And one thing I would say as well, Brendan, some of the studies are very much looking at individuals who have underlying conditions, you know, so individuals who have diabetes. They seem to get a really good level of glucose control if those individuals exercise at that time of day. Another study was looking at individuals. I had to laugh because when I was looking at it, it was individuals who were eating a high-fat diet, right? But they were all men who were looked at in this study, and they were doing less than 150 minutes of exercise a week and sitting for more than 5 hours a day. Now, I listened to that and I thought, well, that's the majority of us, really. But what it showed in that study was that exercise at that, you know, late afternoon, early evening time of day kind of buffered the bad effects of the high-fat diet. So
okay.
In a way...
Okay, so Annie, there's no arguing about this yet. You're coming down very firmly on this. So I guess really, I think we'll have to say that this changes everything for a lot of people. Dr. Annie Curtis, thank you very much. Let's take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.